to come back. I will then give you a couple of questions to discuss. And
nyt me siis jatkamme ja teemme gruppitööd. Jagan teid gruppideks.
All right. I guess we will do this now. We'll see if anyone else comes back here. So here are some questions I want you to
ma tahaksin, et gruppides arutaksite järgmisi küsimusi. Kirjutage üles, millised sarnasused on teie kiriku Jumala teenistusel vara kiriku Jumala teenistusega? Milliseid sarnaseid jooni te olete märganud? Teiseks, millised on erinevused? Miks te arvate, et või miks teie arvates sellised erinevused on tekkinud? Ja kas on midagi sellist, mida te tahaksite näha ka oma kirikus nendest nii-öelda varakiriku praktikatest ja miks?
It is in our church, it's the Espoo Pentecostal Church. We have some similarities with the early church, and we worship Christ as God. We sang hymns or songs, and we also have a fixed day on a Sunday. We have observance of the Lord's Supper. We read from the Bible, and we have a sermon. We also have an Eucharistic prayer. People respond by saying Amen. Most of the times in Pentecostal church, it's Amen. We have two-part structured service, Word and the Lord's Supper, and some differences and why we think that they exist. We don't have a confession of sins quite often, although sometimes the Lord's Prayer is said. We lack a liturgy in our church's structure, so that's one of the reasons why we don't have this confession of sins publicly. We don't meet before sunlight because the rhythm of this world demands people to sleep even a bit after the sunlight, and the winter in Finland creates darkness and sometimes even miserability for people, so they sleep for a longer period of time. Yeah. We have a shared meal very rarely because there are not applicable volunteers for doing any of that, at least there hasn't been for a long time. We don't have deacons receiving the communion to the absent. Perhaps we don't see the necessity of receiving the communion on behalf of someone who is absent. So we have not seen that kind of necessity for doing so. So of course it's in the church structure also that we don't have this pattern there. And there's a difference in collection since it's taken from the church ministry in general. It needs to be said that sometimes there is a certain target group for the collection. For example, we have a target group, the Ukrainians, maybe a few times a year already. Okay, well, that's a good start. We have a teaching about baptism beforehand, but there are people who get baptized, but they say that they don't want to get baptized publicly. So that can be like one difference also. And yeah, that's very briefly. Thanks.
We didn't really get to the last one. Anything we want to add back, so maybe it covered mostly.
Okay, so didn't get to the last point. Okay, so maybe we'll just discuss that as a group. How about Dmitri and Irina, what did you all discuss? And remember to turn on your audio.
Здравствуйте. Так о чем мы говорили? Ну, что касается вот моей церкви непосредственно, то ход служения примерно такой же, как описано в ранней церкви. Единственное, да, что вот тоже мы разговаривали и отметили, то, что прилюдное покаяние не приносится. Так, я помню конкретно два случая, когда в моей церкви выходили люди и каялись перед всеми. Я имею в виду, когда христиане, которые согрешили и признавали свой грех, а покаяние для принятия Иисуса Христа, это практикуется, когда люди выходят вперед и принимают покаяние. Крещение, причастие принимается раз в месяц, первая неделя месяца, первое воскресенье месяца. И по поводу крещения, ну, крещение тоже происходит прилюдно, два раза в год. Ну, вот что касается нашей церкви.
Just out of curiosity, is there any particular time of year they have the baptism? Do they have it around Easter, or is it some other time? Or you're not 100% sure?
Нет, у нас нету конкретных дат. Это происходит больше в связи с погодными условиями, когда тепло. Мы проводим крещение на Финском заливе, да, и это обычно июнь, и потом начало августа, второй раз, когда идет лагерь. Подростки тогда, в основном, кто из подростков, там, 16 лет, вот так, они принимают тогда там.
Very good, and we will see there is also ancient practices dealing with wanting to have it done in rivers and so forth, moving water. So this also has some ancient roots, which you can also tie into the fact that, well, where was John the Baptist baptizing? He was baptizing in a river. Very good. What about the group over here? What did you all find?
Ma märkmeid kirja ei pannud, siis ma räägin seda, mis ma mäletan. Aga mina ja Kristiina oleme luterliku koguduse liikmed ja sellepärast meil on väga palju sarnasusi, ma arvan, selle nii-öelda liturgiaga, mis oli, et väga selgelt on teenistus jagatud kaheks osaks, et on nii-öelda sõnaosa ja on siis armulaud ja üldiselt on armulaud igal pühapäeval, et on mõned kogudused, kus on siis nii-öelda üle pühapäeva, aga et pigem on armulaud igal pühapäeval. Ja osad rääksid ristimisest, siis ristimine on ka selline, et on koguduseti erinev, aga näiteks meie koguduses on niimoodi, et ristimine on ka nagu toimub Jumala teenistuse ajal. Ehk siis Jumala teenistuse ajal ristitakse, et saab ka nii-öelda eraldi ristimist korraldada, kui keegi ei soovi Jumala teenistuse ajal ristida. Siis see palve osa ja see, kuidas nii-öelda on eraldi nagu nii-öelda armolaua ettevalmistav palve ja selle ümber nagu palve osad, et see on ka väga sarnane meie kukkuduse liturgiaga. Ja ma saan aru, et Hannal oli ka nii-öelda sarnane võib-olla eelnevate kõnelejatega, et kuna ta on vabakukudusest, siis neil on kord kuus armolaud. Ja siis kui on see armulaud, et siis see teenistus on sarnane. Nii-öelda, et on sõnaosa ja siis armulaua osa eraldi. Mis on erinevused, et me enam ei kogune katakombides. et meil on suured kirikud, hooned, mis on igale poole paistavad. Ma arvan, et see erinevus on sellepärast, et kristlasi vähemalt selles maailmas, kus on kirikud väga nähtaval kohal, neid ei kiusata enam taga. Meie usk on selles mõttes väga avalik, eriti näiteks, kui mõelda Eesti luterliku kiriku peale, siis väga avalik on see, mis kirikus toimub ja mis teenistusel toimub, et kõik inimesed nii-öelda saavad tulla ja vaadata ja sellest mingil määral nagu osa olla. Et kuigi mõnes koguduses, võib-olla nagu traditsioonilises koguduses, näiteks armulaua osa on selline, et kus öeldakse, et nüüd inimesed, kes ei ole koguduse liikmed, võivad ära minna. Lisaks on väga tavapärane, nii-öelda Hanna ütles ka, et koju viiakse armulauda ja see on nagu regulaarne, et kui on mõned koguduse liikmed, kes ei saa tulla nii-öelda kirikusse, et siis pastor käib neil kodus armulauda jagamas. Ja siis, mida me tahaksime lisada tänapäevasesse kogudusse, mis algkoguduses oli, esimene vastus oli siiras usk. Ja näha on, et kui on tagakõjus või kitsikused, siis inimesed peavad läbi mõtlema oma eluvalikud ja ma arvan, et see nii-öelda aitab inimestel sügavamalt teha otsust Jumala kasuks. Kas midagi te tahate lisada ka veel, Hanna? Ja Hanna ütles, et temale meeldiks näiteks, kui teenistusosa oleks mingisugune konkreetne palve, näiteks Luteri kirikus väga tihti, noh, põhimõtteliselt iga pühapäev loetakse näiteks usutunnistust ja on mingisugused nii-öelda, et sul on nagu liturgia osas on mingisugused palved, mida korratakse igal korral, et see on nagu selline koht, kus kõik saavad nagu ühiselt kuidagi koos olla.
Yeah, just to clarify, the early church wouldn't have all been, not saying this is what you said, just to clarify, the early church did not always meet in a catacomb or always meet, they all usually would have been in someone's house. And that was partially because there was persecution. But even in areas, there were places that persecution wasn't active all the time. Persecution wasn't of that nature. It was usually in regions where the persecution happened. There were only a handful of empire-wide. But so they'd be in the house, sometimes catacomb. But it's interesting. One reason I was pointing out, oh, you're Lutheran the other day, is Lutherans tend to, at least in the United States, pride themselves, in the good sense, on having biblical ancient worship. So they want they will try for this model very closely. So they would be, at least the pastors I've dealt with in America would be offended if you said this was not like this sort of worship. So that's why you see those similarities so strongly. Okay, very good. Well, I'll just ask, is there anything that you all individually just think would be good if it was added back in?
I would also like to add confession of sins.
Confession of sins.
I also sometimes say creeds.
And creeds, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I actually was recently, they're having a series of worship here in the church and the Methodist church. And I actually, why certain things are in there, I think is what the nature of the series is. And I was thinking, why we have the confession of sin in there would be a good one, because not everyone does. And I think that's... I think that some look at it as, how can I put it, not particularly uplifting to always have it in, that Lutherans, for instance, begin the service with the confession of sin, which makes perfect sense. You as a sinner are becoming before God. I mean, look at the, we'll get into this next, a few sessions from now, but look at the Old Testament and, well, did a priest just walk into the temple? No. You had to prepare yourself, dress yourself in a certain way, do certain things before you could go into the presence of a holy God. So there is some reason for that kind of understanding. Now, this is something that I think is why we have this class and why we have education and why we have responsibility once we know these things is a lot of people, that's why they look at it as, oh, this is a downer, or, you know, why do we start out in such a disappointing way? It's because of certain reasons. And so people who don't know that, in fairness to them, they look at this and say, boy, I was already feeling bad today, you know, and now I'm being reminded that I am a loser, you know, which if that's your attitude coming into such a setting, I can understand why you would think this is, you know, not a good way to start a service. Because, I mean, it's very fair to say I have joy because I have relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, this is also something that will come out in worship as we come. So there is that very strong part of worship as well. We are forgiven people with a relationship with Christ. We have reason for joy. But part of that reason we have for joy is because of who we really are without him. So these are all good things to discuss. Yes. Let's see, can you hear that, Carmel, or do you need... No, you can't hear
it.
Can you hear it? Nope. So I guess come up and... Actually, that'd be good. Then people can see you.
Mul on siis selline küsimus, et ma ei pannud täpselt tähele, kas euharist ja tänupalve, et kas see oli enne siis armulaud, pärast armulaud mõlemal ajal nagu ette valmistamata, et vabas vormis või oli, et alguses oli ette valmistamata ja pärast oli siis nagu konkreetne palve.
Well, I think in the prayer they had, there were parts that were before and parts that were after. So you would have kind of the words of, you know, initiating it. They would discuss this bread and wine. And then afterwards, you would be giving more of the thanks and so forth. So yes, it was before and after. It's a liturgy, if you will. So does that answer your question or no? Yep. Yep. Any other questions or, and probably it's fairly short in a Pentecostal church, the prayer before, whereas it's more formal and longer. One time I had the Methodist liturgy for communion memorized in English, but I haven't used it in English as frequently. I actually felt good that I've memorized something so long. Yes. Well, I guess you can. Okay. At this point, we don't know a lot about what their beliefs were on that matter. We're going to get more into that as we go. And there, as you can imagine, this is That's one reason it's one of the most, I have heard this is the topic that may divide Protestants the most at this very moment today, is whether infants should be baptized or not. This is actually one, and the reason there is such division is we really don't have anything to really say at this point, whether they did or not. We're going to get into our first statements in the next 500 years. It's the fourth century we start hearing some kind of statements about it. And there are arguments biblically for each side, and there are also sociological arguments from both sides, which really do matter, because just a preview, this will be a few sessions from now. For instance, if you want the camp that says, baptize only adults, there are a number of verses you could turn to, confess your sins, then, be baptized. Well, can a person who is a baby confess their sins? And we see a number of people being baptized who are adults in Scripture. There is Cornelius, when he comes to faith, it's mentioned his whole household is baptized. A whole household would have been also included infants. And there's also a sense in which sociologically we are very much into our individual rights and our individuality in, Estonia, America, Finland, you name it, where in a lot of cultures, you don't just make a decision for yourself. You make a decision as a family. So your parents would be really determining what you do. So there are arguments both ways. That's why it's, and we don't have, if they found in theory that Paul said something, unearthed something, or Jesus said something even more appropriately, the thing would be settled, but we don't have it that clear cut. We'll get more into that later on. Any other questions or comments? All right. Well, we will take a break then till 11. Then we will talk about the 500 years after this.